Hey guys, welcome to the Fit Dad Lifestyle Podcast, Season 2. There is a moment in every dad's life where you want to become the strongest version of yourself. You want to become better. You want to rise up and you want to be successful and the perfect role model to your kids. So what is the Fit Dad Lifestyle? It's about being that role model, that leader, that example that your kids need to follow. It's about family. It's about trying new things. It's about fitness, laughter, full of smiles, and it's here to inspire you so that you can inspire your family. Enjoy season 2. We've got some amazing guests on board. Everything fitness, fatherhood, and success. Here's the episode, guys. Enjoy. Hey guys, welcome to episode 85 of the Fit Dad Lifestyle Podcast. So today our guest is former Collingwood captain Nick Maxwell. So Nick, 208 games with the Collingwood Football Club, 2010 Premiership captain, and now leadership and development coach with the Collingwood Football Club. So mate, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Mate, are you able to let the audience know a little bit more about yourself and you know, how many kids you've got?
Yeah, well, grew up in Geelong and then went to Collingwood in 2003 as a 19-year-old. Had a 12-year career there, and then from there, after retirement, spent the last 6 years working with Melbourne Storm in a leadership and culture role, and then went 2 years with GWS Giants doing the same role, and then went back to Collingwood end of 2017, so basically 3 years there sort of while working with the Storm, and then bit of corporate stuff around, I guess, that same sort of stuff, the leadership stuff, and three kids, so a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old, so plenty of trying to make enough time for them and put time aside to help them with what they want to do while I'm trying to, I guess, make a living as well.
Yeah, 100%, and 9 years, you would have had kids, obviously, when you were still playing, you know, in the later years. How did, you know, how was that transition, I guess, from having, you know, being a father in that, you know, demands of being a professional athlete to, you know, now, I guess, having a lot more flexibility, but still associated within the professional sporting bodies?
Yeah, it was probably, I've found it more the other way, to be honest, Leroy, where when you're a player, an athlete, you actually have a lot more time because you can't afford to be extending yourself too far because obviously your prep has to be around yourself getting ready to play and getting ready to perform. Whereas when I'm retiring, I can't say, oh, no, I need my sleep or I need to go and do this. Like, it's, no, you've got a normal job, workplace, I guess. So it doesn't really work like that as much, where now I find it harder to actually spend more time with them because you've got so many things going on. And I guess they're also getting to an age now where weekend sports and all that stuff starts to come in as well. So you've got Archie, the 7-year-old, plays basketball, he plays football, loves his cricket, he'll do anything, any ball that's around. Millard, the 9-year-old, she's got her ballet and her dancing, and then she had a little crack at netball and she's sort of trying different things. So the balance is always difficult, but at the same time, I think it's important to you can put that time aside.
Yeah, 100%. And how have you found the hub life? Is that allowed you guys to, you know, create that stronger family unit because there isn't so much, well, I guess, commuting on the day to day, like having training and everything associated at the one place, and, you know, brought the kids and I guess what you do a lot closer?
Yeah, it's been interesting. We had a week in Sydney, 4 weeks in Perth, and then we've been in Sunshine Coast for about 6 weeks. So my family have been here for the Sunshine Coast element to it. And from that, basically the way our days are really planned out, my wife's been doing all the homeschooling in the morning because usually I'll be going off to training or going off to do what we need to do for work, I guess. But the hard thing we've found is the balance between there's so many kids around and the environment almost, it feels like a holiday to the kids. So there's a pool there and there's a beach there, and they can go into the team room and to the buffet for breakfast, lunch and dinner, and I think this is the greatest holiday of all time. But for us, we're still working and we're still trying to focus on what we need to achieve. So from a parenting perspective, I guess my job ends up being take them outside and get them going energy-wise and try and burn them out and take them to the pool and allow my wife to have some time to herself, play soccer, play football, whatever they want to do. But then also I basically get given the projects for school, any of the projects. So we just had one Archie had to do where it was about living in Melbourne and trying to actually almost sell almost a video on Melbourne and why it's good to live in Melbourne, because obviously that's where we're from. So I get the projects. Aaron does all the actual specific stuff around schooling. But yeah, it's very interesting trying to keep that balance, trying to knock that over in the morning so then they can spend the afternoon down by the pool and playing with the other kids.
Yeah, mate. I was down at the resort the other day, or just driving through, dropping some stuff off, and it did look like, and it had that bit of a feel to it. There was families over here and everyone's got their beach bags, and mate, it had that holiday feel for sure.
Yeah, it's a tough one because you got to keep that balance, because we've got professional athletes here and we want to make sure that they're focused on the next training session and the video session we're going to do in the next meeting. And it's hard to keep making sure you come back to that and focus on that. And we've got to be aware of it ourselves, that we're not, I guess, setting a bad example along those lines.
Yeah, and what happens, obviously, with everything happening down in Victoria? Do you just stay at the resort after the footy season and just go, well, we're just crashing here for the next 4 to 8 weeks until things settle down?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that will. For us, we actually, I mean, we've been away a fair while now, but going back, my wife will go back with the kids in a couple of weeks. And then obviously we don't know, we qualified for finals this week, but we don't know exactly how long we'll go into the season. But we've spent 2 years in a rental while we renovated our house, our home. And I moved in, I was in there for about 7 nights before I had to come up here. So we're really keen to actually get back and just spend some time in the house that we spent so long sort of renovating, just so that we can actually start getting some sort of normality back in our lives. So we'll be a little bit different due to circumstance, but there are a lot that are going to be staying up here for as long as they need to.
Yeah, 100%. I think that'd be the case along, you know, across all the different codes and, you know, having everyone based up here. Mate, with your family, you know, a lot of families have set routines or, you know, set rituals, you know, like maybe fish and chips on a Friday night, or, you know, a set nightly routine. Do you guys have anything in place with your family, and probably pre-pandemic when, you know, there's a little bit more normality there, that you guys have in place every week?
Yeah, we have burger and chips night and a Friday night. So, yeah, the kids, we mix it up between actually going and getting it from somewhere, or sometimes I'll just make them for them, because whatever's happened, has been a long day at work or at school, and which one actually just crash at home. But it's always burgers and chips, and there's sort of a chips place, chicken and chip place just down the road. So our seven-year-olds, they've got the responsibility of going and getting them and bringing them back. So even little things like that, trying to teach him about money and going and buying something and actually getting the change and those type of things. So, but that's our Friday night routine. We try to do Saturday night, try and give them a movie night, so like a Disney movie night or something like that. And that's, they can have an ice cream on that night usually. So sometimes we'll actually throw it up to them on a Friday night. Well, if you have an ice cream tonight, you can't have one tomorrow night. So try and make them have to have that choice in between the two. And then it's interesting when one of them or two of them do and the other ones don't, then they get to eat an ice cream in front of them the next night, and they see even that, just learning about that. The other one we do is footy tips for the AFL, which is sort of, again, another way of just going through having something that actually all of us are in on and all of us are working together on. So got to getting a trophy made so we can all actually see each year who wins the footy tips, just to sort of keep it interesting. And with the young fella, who's only four, obviously he just picks the names. He has no idea who's going to win. So we make sure we bulk him up a little bit, so he's a bit closer than what he probably should be.
Yeah, mate. It's funny you mentioned that about the footy tips. And we've been watching the footy quite a bit, me and my son, my elder son. He's six. He'll be seven on Boxing Day. And he doesn't make the whole match. Like, he probably gets to about halftime and he's done and dusted. But there's been two times this year, and I don't know how it worked out, but he said, I think it's going to be a draw, Dad. I'm going to bed, you know, good night. And it was on the two draws that we had this year. And just, mate, he said it before halftime. I wish I had the sports bet account or something there, yeah, and just go on, right, your pocket money this week is going on the draw. But yeah, two times he said it, it's been absolutely bizarre. And he wakes up in the morning, he's so eager. What was the footy? Did we win, or, you know, who won? And I said it was a draw, and his little face just lights up. And yeah, I don't know. He's got this psychic ability at the moment, but
brilliant.
Mate, if you could go back to, you know, Nick on day one of fatherhood, with what you know today and what you know to be true, I guess, over the past, you know, 9 years of having kids, and, you know, let yourself, you know one thing, what would that be, and what would you, you know, tell yourself on day one?
Well, that's a good question. Probably it doesn't have to be perfect. There's going to be lots of bumps in the road. And that's part of the journey of the learning of it, of parenthood. I think that at times you've probably seen other parents or you see people that you know and respect and you see them as parents and you think you only ever see the good. You know, you don't often see the bad stuff because the bad stuff's usually at home, and that's when things like when I say bad stuff, like bad behavior from the kid or the parents losing patience and yelling at the kid or whatever it is, or having to actually punish them for whatever something they've done wrong. I think that you don't ever see that in a public setting, really, or if you do, it's rare. So you tend to put people on a pedestal and think that parenthood is a certain thing and that sometimes you can feel like you're failing because they're not listening to me, or why is the baby crying? I can't stop crying. Like all those questions that come through as a first-time parent, I think you just understand that's part of the journey and that it's never going to be perfect, but also that's what makes the bonds that you create and the family that you have along the way. So we had a really interesting one. Miller was born probably, I'm going to say 6 weeks. She's about 6 weeks old. I got an injury over in Perth where I got hit in the side by someone, ran flat out into me, and also I wasn't protected. And it hit me so hard that it didn't actually fracture any of my ribs, but it was such a violent hit that my kidney and liver burst open internally. So I got rushed to hospital. I was in hospital for 5 days in Perth before they could fly me back. And I wasn't allowed to leave. I had to lay on the mattress in the lounge room, lay on my back for just over 2 weeks until I was cleared. So I had to measure my urine, see the blood in it, or until there was no blood. And it took about 15 or 16 days. And because she was only 6 weeks old, my wife would sort of breastfeed her and then come in and literally just sit her here sort of in my arm while I'm watching sport. And she'd just be right next to me, like right next to my sort of heart while I'm watching sport, and sort of the bond I created with her, I feel a lot of it had to do with that because I literally had 2 weeks where it was just her and I for 95% of the day. So, even that was something that was bad career-wise and a bit of physical pain, but it turned into something that I think the bond we've got today, a lot of it I feel comes from being so close together in those early days.
Yeah, mate, that would have been, I guess, like you said, as painful and as bad as the injury was, it would have been a blessing in disguise to be able to have 2 straight weeks of just that newborn stage and, in other words, situation with the demanding lifestyle that you're leading, probably wouldn't have gotten traveling interstate and here, there and everywhere else.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And then now I also, going back to when you talk about traditions, I try and have one-on-one time with kids as well. So I think you can always think that you've got to include everyone. But they've all got different personalities, all three of them. And I think we've got to be aware of that and understand that they need their alone time with you as well. And it might just be their alone time with mum occasionally or their alone time with dad occasionally. And then obviously you do a lot as a family together. But I feel that one-on-one time is really important as well. Just the ability to, where they don't have other distractions or other people, the other kids involved in the conversations, they can actually be part of it themselves and I guess have that alone time. So I think that's something that's important.
Yeah, mate. And that's one thing that we've spoken about on the podcast a lot previously is really getting engaged with what our kids' interests are. And, you know, as much as we try and say, get off technology, get outside and play and, you know, this and that, for some kids, their interest is playing, you know, NBA on or playing Fortnite or playing, you know, something online. And, you know, as much as you want them to get off, you know, the technology and, you know, go do something different, you know, you've also got to think, well, hang on, maybe if I just sit down 15 minutes or 30 minutes and immerse myself in this game, it could be a great opportunity for us to, you know, forge a bond on a different level, you know, both enjoying something that they're interested in rather than what we should, you know, expect that they should be doing.
I think that's spot on. I think also that, you don't know what the other kids are doing at school. And if, for example, if you just say, nah, you're not doing that at all, whatever it is, then they might be the odd one out with all their mates at school as well. So then they haven't got, they sort of missing out on something, some sort of form of connection with their friends. So even with our 9-year-old, we're sort of trying to work out at what stage does she get a phone, where some of her friends have already got them because they're not the oldest. So their older sister, older brother's got them. So they've already got phones and stuff and we don't want her to have a phone yet. But we ended up just up here a few weeks ago because we wanted her to have the freedom and the responsibility of being able to actually go out amongst this resort that we're at and do her own thing with her friends. She had a little friendship group here. But we still want to be in contact with her. So we bought her one of those watches where you can actually ring the watch or she can ring us, just so that she's got that freedom to go out there, but also we can still check in on her and make sure that everything's okay, or she's going to let us know when she's going somewhere. So I think you've got to think about all those things as well.
Yeah, I think so. It's adjusting that mindset, isn't it? Because when we grew up as kids, you know, we got a phone when we were 15 or 16 and thought that was, you know, the greatest thing. But this day and age, technology is here to stay. And, you know, yeah, we've got to adjust that mindset. And with the watch that you just mentioned, I think that's a fantastic idea, because they can't get caught out on, you know, being on all the different apps and immersing themselves in, you know, the YouTubes and the web. But the watch still gives them that technology, I guess, to, you know, have that constant contact and be able to, you know, allow you guys to reach out in the case of emergency, or I'm assuming vice versa as well.
Yep. Yeah, sure.
Mate, what advice would you have for any fathers out there, you know, about achieving success with, you know, their own health and fitness in fatherhood, or, you know, on their own career path?
Look, I think for a start, find something you're passionate about, and if you're happy to work harder or get paid less if you're doing something you love doing. So don't be rolling up to your job if it's something that you hate or it makes you miserable, because that's just going to turn you into a person that you don't want to be. It's going to mean that you go home frustrated and angry, and you can put that onto your kids or onto your partner. So I think you got to be passionate about what you do. I think it's really important to have tight friendship groups. So I've got basically my best mates in the world are still the mates I went to school with. We're still really tight and really close, and we've got our WhatsApp groups and we catch up all the time. And I think it's important that you have that sort of that man time and that friendship time amongst your mates. And I think it's okay to be able to talk about if you're struggling with something, or if you're not aware of what the next step is for yourself, have mentors or have people you trust that you can talk to and ask questions to. That's certainly something that I've done throughout my football career, but obviously transition post being an athlete is very similar in making sure that I'm asking questions about a career path or which way I want to go, and trying to learn different things. And like, that's why I went into a completely different environment than the Melbourne Storm as an example, because I knew they were great people, and I was thinking this could be really interesting and I could learn a lot from that. So and you mentioned the health part. Basically, I try and do minimum 5 sessions a week. So weekends, if I get one in, it's a bonus. But during the week, I've got to get one in every day, because I just think it makes me better with who I am. I feel better about myself. I sleep better when I've done some training. When I haven't, I notice that in my sleep as well. So I think there's some key elements to it.
And how much of your training has changed from, you know, the demands of having to, you know, being that, you know, shape and fitness level to play AFL, compared to, you know, now just doing it for, I guess, a, you know, health and well-being point of view?
Yeah, it's probably, I do a lot of different things. So I might go for, now the NFL's on, I'm obsessed with my NFL, so I'll be listening to the NFL podcast or watching the game, whatever. I'll walk for an hour and a half, or I'll go get on the bike for an hour and a half, just push bike, exercise bike, and then just throwing some weights either side of that. So I guess there's not a pressure of having to be able to run this time, or having to be this fit, or having to be able to back up every single week and do and perform. So I think it's more enjoyable, because you don't have that added pressure on top of you. So I just try and change it up and do different things all the time. Probably the hardest thing is, as I get older, I notice I can't do anywhere near as much as what I used to be able to do. So obviously the body starts breaking down a bit more. But if that happens, then I just got to cross train and do something different for a week or so. So, but that's just, it's all part of it. I would never want to lock myself into just ever riding the bike every day or just running every day, because I just feel I get stale and then I don't enjoy it as much.
Yeah, mate. I'm the same at the moment, and especially from the podcast point of view, it's one of the things that I enjoy tremendously is listening to a podcast. Even now, I've sort of trained myself to be able to even go to the gym and do a heavy weight session and still have a podcast, which is hard to sort of get away from that, you know, banging music to listen to people speak and try and still be in that zone. But, you know, I find it's a great way that for 15 minutes, half an hour, you know, in 2 hours, whatever the case may be, you can get a lot of education, you know, whether you listen to, you know, interviews or whether you listen to some motivational, you know, speaker or even, you know, business or audiobooks. And, you know, it's one thing that I find is sort of that non-negotiable every day is to either in the car or in the gym or doing, you know, whatever exercise to get that session in, because it does allow you to keep that brain healthy and, you know, keep learning something new, because it's something that, you know, further study or further, you know, upskilling gets pushed to the side once, you know, become dad and you've got all these other tasks that you need to, you do.
Yeah. And there's so many, I mean, everyone's got different passions. Like, and if you think of any type of passion or any type of sport that you're interested in, there's podcasts out there for it. So as you said, even in the car, I won't ever listen to radio or only ever listen to podcasts or whatever it is. So it might be a crime podcast, or it might be a sport podcast, or it might be an NFL podcast, whatever it is. So just the things that I'm passionate about. And yeah, I just love listening to them and listening to the stories and listening to the people who I guess I've followed or I've watched in the past.
Yeah, mate. We've actually, we got Chris Gronkowski on the podcast in a couple of weeks as well. So that should be, interesting thing. For someone who's obviously played a little bit of the NFL and got his brother who's, you know, a worldwide superstar. So mate, it should be, interesting conversation there as well. Mate, apart from, you know, following Collingwood on TV and watching their, you know, progress into the finals, what can people get in touch with you, and what do you have coming up over the near future that people might be able to get involved in?
I do some plenty of corporate stuff. So I find a lot of the work that I do with corporates, usually I run over a few sessions. So it's easy to do like the entertainment ones where you tell your story and you talk about your lessons and that. So obviously they're the easy ones. But at the same time, I actually like digging a bit deeper and sharing my experiences and then asking the people that I'm working with, for example, in a group setting, what are your experiences? So if I say, these are lessons I've learned of perseverance or resilience, now I want you to think about some of your own and make people reflect. So I actually find that people have their own journeys and their own stories. And if you can actually share that with the people you work with or acknowledge the stories you've lived yourself, that's when you can actually me, but I think that's only to ask the question about yourself and to learn it from yourself. So I'll talk about the people I've learned from as an example, and I'll talk about the lessons I got from my mum and dad or from Craig Bellamy or from Mick Malthouse, my coach, from them. Who's influenced your life? Who is actually the people and how did they actually help you and that type of thing? So I feel that when I work through it that way, the people that I work with, it actually helps them a lot more. And then you get to the work environment itself and what type of environment you work in. This is what we try and do in the Storm culture. This is what we try and do in the Collingwood culture, and actually talk through what the culture actually means to us in the day-to-day and what it looks like. So, I've got a website, NJM, N for Nick, John Maxwell, NJM Consulting. So you can look that up and get in touch if you're keen to have a chat or I guess read a little bit further into it.
Yeah, fantastic, mate. Well, for those guys that are out running or doing exercise or driving in the car right now, I'll make sure I have Nick's contact details and to the website and all the information in the show notes. So have a look in the description once you finish and you'll be able to get in touch with Nick if that interests you. So, mate, I highly appreciate you making the time to come on the podcast today. Well done on a good win last night, and go enjoy that resort time with the family and get ready for finals.
Perfect. Will do, mate. All the best with it.
Thanks, mate.